day for those thoughts. I was inspired by those thoughts. And I crossed my mind that maybe you have more real life experience. Maybe you can just keep sharing. And I was inspired. I love to hear about the power of God. And that's the thing that while you were sharing, I thought about. You know, I'm so thankful tonight that I didn't have to come up here and try to convince you that what I was saying was right and was approved. If I base my preaching upon the Word of God, you know it's truth, and you know it has power. So praise the Lord for that. Before I get started here, I just want to thank the local congregation here for your many acts of hospitality, your generosity. Means a lot to me, and means a lot to our family back home, the gifts that you sent, and God bless you for it. I've been taken care of really well while I'm here, and a special thank you to Andy's for their putting me up there and for their hospitality. They've bent over backwards for me, and I appreciate that. Went above and beyond. So God bless you for your generosity and your hospitality in the church. Keep it up. I think it speaks volumes to those around you. I've titled the message tonight, Called to Holiness. And that is found, we're going to start at 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 12. And I'd like to think on holiness tonight, I don't intend this message to be one that sometimes we say, you know, you beat somebody over the head, but it's meant to. I'm trying to set a standard tonight, and I'm trying to set a standard not only for you but for myself as well. Called to holiness. What is your definition? What do you think when you hear the word holiness? Well, I have one definition here. One definition I have is a life of discipline, focus, and attention to matters of righteous living. That's the definition I'm going to look at tonight of holiness. A life of discipline, focus, and attention to matters of righteous living. Call to holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 12. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to do work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have a lack of nothing. Emphasis tonight here is on verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Paul puts it in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, in my own words here. Holiness is a life fully presented to God in a way that transforms our lives to God's glory, rather than conforming our lives to the world. Holy means set apart. When God in the Old Testament told the Israelites, told his people, to keep the Sabbath holy, he meant for it to be a special day set apart from the rest of the week. It was a day, it was a holy day. It was set apart from the rest of the days. And I think that's the picture that I get of God's people in this world tonight, is a people that is set apart. They're removed from the world. They're removed from the world and its systems, its teaching programs, you name it. That's what I want to see, get a picture of. God's people is set apart. Yes, we're in the world, but we're set apart for God's glory. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, verse 17 through 24. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 16. We see that the standard for holiness is actually pretty high. 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. See here, God, it says God is the standard for holiness. And then 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God. So a couple things I'd like to point out here. Recently at Bible school in Richmond, Sunday morning message, I think it was a week ago, the preacher there brought out an interesting point. He talked about, we read here about putting on the new man and putting off the old man. He made the point that if he's out choring and he comes in and goes to church, he doesn't just put his Sunday clothes on over top of his chore clothes because of the stink and the smell that would permeate from his body. He said that's the illustration he likes to do, is take off that old life and put on the new man. And then another point I'd like to bring out here in 19:20 is something that I actually had a message on. I think it was Your Body, God's Temple recently. And going through the scriptures, I don't know that it ever stood out to me before, but our temple is now the temple of God. And the illustration I like to use is the old tabernacle in the Old Testament. God, that's where God dwelt, and that's where people of God had to go to find God. Well, now His Spirit is dwelling in our body, which makes our body the temple of God. And that's why it's so important that we maintain this standard of holiness. You know, if we profess the name of Christ and don't live a life of holiness, we're just like Brother Dave brought out, we're dead bones. We talked about those dead bones. That's what we are. But we're now the body. Our body is now the temple. And God redeemed us. He bought us back. so we are his possession. Called to holiness means we are set apart from the world and its systems. Like I mentioned earlier, the world and its system is not a vile friend, is not a friend of grace, as the songwriter says. And, you know, the children of Israel, I want to look at that a little bit, Leviticus 18, 1 through 5, they were in the world, much as we are, but they were directed to not partake of the sins of the world. And Leviticus 18, verses 1 through 5 would bring that out. Leviticus 18, 1 through 5. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments, and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So, God warned his people in the Old Testament, much like the warnings we receive in the New Testament, to not poison, not partake of the sin around them. And we know that the Israelites failed on this teaching. They failed lots of times, and we see God's mercy and grace just continually bringing them back and continually bringing them back. And I think we would all realize, we all know that if we're going to be successful in our Christian life, if we're going to pass on the faith, we're going to have to be set apart unto God. We're going to have to not partake of the world and its wickedness. And, you know, like I said, we're in the world, and sometimes if we let our guard down, sometimes we get dulled by the world and its systems. But I hope tonight that at the end of the message that we can maybe have a renewed vision. We can have a renewed stand on the holiness that God expects from us. And, you know, God promised judgment upon his people, the Old Testament, if they didn't put away those idols, and if they went back to Egypt. And we see that happening many times. A couple years ago, I was listening to a message of a prominent evangelist back in the day, and he mentioned in the 80s that they were seeing the teachings that had been prevalent in America the previous two decades, so the 60s and the 70s, and he was warning of the reaping to come. I really wonder what he would say today. That was Billy Graham. I really wonder what Billy Graham would have to say if he would be alive today. I think we know that the breakdown of society is happening, and it gets worse with the passing of time. And I wonder if it doesn't wear off on us some. And I know we can get lax. We can get dull, like I said. But God's standard for his people is still the same. God's standard for his people doesn't change just because society changes around us. God still said, be ye holy as I am holy. You know, that's the thing. If you have holiness in your life, if you make that a goal for your life, God will be there. God will give you his spirit to achieve that goal. Holiness causes us to follow God, not after the things of the world. What happens when we try to find satisfaction in things? I think we all know that miserable, depressed people would be the result of that. There's many people today that try to find happiness and satisfactions in something other than Jesus Christ, and it doesn't work. It's been said that Beverly Hills has more psychiatrists than almost anywhere in the world per capita, and its standard of living is one of the highest in the world. What does that tell us about things and the pursuit of things, the pursuit of fame and fortune? We'll look at the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, 11 through 24. You know, maybe you find yourself tonight in a spot where you never thought you'd get to. Maybe you find yourself in a spot that you've let this standard slip, and maybe you think the cost is too high to get back to where you need to be. Luke 15, 11 through 24 tells us a story here. I'm not going to take time to read this whole story, but it gives us a story of the prodigal son. And there's a lot in here. You know, we could talk about the older son and his attitudes and his problems. But I really want to think a little bit about what was Jesus' intention when he told this parable, the parable of the prodigal son. Well, it could be a lot of things, could be a lot of different things, but I think Jesus was simply showing us, his disciples, his followers, the great mercy and love that God has for his people. We know the story. I'll just briefly go over. You know, the prodigal son, he had it made. He was in his father's house. He had everything he ever needed, but yet he threw that all away for the pleasures of the world. And the Bible tells us that when he ran out of money and food, and he would have eaten pig food, it says, but no one would even give him any. And when he came to his senses, you know, he thought about his father's house, his hired servants, and how much better off they were than him. And he made the decision to go back to his father's house. And I really want us to look at the father's response here. It says there that in verse 20, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And, you know, I see this picture of this father just watching down the road day in and day out and wondering what happened to his son and wondering where he was. And the other thing I'd like to, and I don't know that I've ever thought of this before much, but when he came home and he came to his father's father, ran out and fell on his neck and kissed him, and the son said, I have sinned against heaven in the sight, and you know the father's response, said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and let's celebrate. And He didn't meet him at the gate and say, why don't you get yourself cleaned up? You know, get some clean clothes on. I want to sit down. I want to have a talk with you about your stupidity and your ignorance. And gave him a royal chewing out. He simply received him and took him back and forgave him. And I think maybe that's a little bit what Jesus was trying to show us, a picture of God. You know, I think if we find ourselves separated from God because we fail to maintain this standard of holiness that we're talking about, that God desires from us. And, you know, I know my own experience, sometimes when we mess up, we don't like to admit it. It's probably a man thing more than anything, but we don't like to admit failure. But the picture I get here of God, this father here, is that he stands ready to receive us back. You know, we find ourselves slipping from that standard that God expects of us. We can be restored to that. We can be restored to a holiness that God expects from us. So how do we maintain that holiness Well, number one, we need to be founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ. You know, God doesn't expect us to live in holiness or own power. It's impossible. We can't live to this standard of holiness that we're talking about on our own power. You can probably maintain the facade for a little while, but in order to meet this expectation of holiness that God expects from us, we have to have the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. We have to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts, and that will allow us to live a victorious life. It's only by the grace of God, it's only by the grace of God that we are accepted by God and not rejected. You know, try living a holy life on your own power, and you'll soon find it impossible. I mentioned earlier about the world and its influences around us. You know, we can stand here tonight, we can wring our hands, and we can bemoan the fact that American culture around us is disintegrating. But we have a lot to be thankful for. We live in a land of freedom. And we live in a land that we can still, like Dave said, share the gospel news with those around us. So it's not all bad. But we also know that we are probably protected and sheltered from a lot of filth that is prevalent in the big cities of the world, in the United States. But I think the key here tonight is to, yes, realize the dangers around us, but also focus on the power of God and the power that is available to us. You know, sometimes, you know, there's pessimists and there's optimists, and I try to believe that I'm an optimist. I don't know I am all the time, but I'm optimistic about the future of the church. And I'm optimistic about the fact that there's power available to us. We don't have to live this pessimistic life and try to figure out the next conspiracy theory or figure out what's happening, you know, why a ship went down and why this happened and why this happened and there's always this other thing behind it. And that gets pretty tiring. But I want to just encourage us tonight that this standard of holiness is not unattainable. This standard of holiness that God expects from us is possible to reach. And let's not become discouraged when we see the things around us going haywire, probably. On November 13th, 1985, the Nevada del Ruiz volcano erupted in Colombia. The town of Amaro had 30,000 people, of which approximately 25,000 people died. The sad part about this story here is that the people of the town were told to just stay in place, stay in their houses, and that most likely they would be safe there until it was too late. They got warnings. And some of them reportedly heard it 30 minutes before it got there. But most of these people were still in their houses. And there was a wall of mud and debris reported to be 100 feet tall, hit the town and caused utter destruction. And what killed the people wasn't the actual ash from the eruption. It was actually the deadly mudslides from melted snow off the mountain and the debris, the trees and all that. It swept through the town and the surrounding areas and took people to their deaths. Utter destruction. And I'm going to liken this mudslides there that happened in that town to the world. You know, there's some people would say, well, what you're doing, the way you practice, it's okay, it's not necessary. That's not necessary. And they would like to get us, lull us to sleep and just stay. You know, what you do is necessary. Just hunker down a little bit, you know. Just settle for less. And And I would liken those mudslides to the world. If we're not careful, it's going to take us with it. And if we're not careful to maintain this standard of holiness, I fear that we will be carried to our spiritual death and destruction. What saved some people from this mudslide was they got to higher ground and were above the mudslides when they came through. So let's put on the holiness of Christ and let's rise above the misery and the hopelessness that we see around us sometimes. Ephesians 5:8-14. Holiness means walking in the light. Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:8-14. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Holiness means walking in the light. Are you walking in the light? The true light of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. I think that's a key to maintaining this standard of holiness that we're talking about. Talked a little bit about the other night. You know, you can't hate your brother, you can't hate your sister, and be holy. It's impossible. Romans 13:12-14. Again, talking about rejecting the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light. Romans 13:12. So the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Are you rejecting the works of darkness? Do you have on that armor of light? We talked a little bit about the armor the other night. And, you know, light shines, light exposes. And are we walking in the light of Christ? For Titus 2:11-14. Titus 2:11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You know, I think this is why it's so important that we realize what God's expecting of us. teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Why? So we can look forward to that blessed appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And he tells there, you know, God, Christ gave himself for us. He redeemed us. He pulled us out of darkness from iniquity. And he wants us to become a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So as the holiness of God, I trust the holiness of God will permeate our lives so we can look with confidence for the blessed appearing and second coming of Christ. In closing, as we think of being called to holiness, as we mentioned to start at the beginning of the message, mentioned about being set apart. You know, we talked about the Christian home this morning and the importance of the Christian home and the church in our communities, in our nation. But tonight I want to talk about holiness in our homes. I believe that not only will holiness, this standard that we're talking about, this call to holiness, not only will it affect our homes, it also will affect the way I conduct my life, my occupation, my business. You know, we maintain a holiness in our homes, maintain this standard of holiness in our occupations, and that in turn will maintain that in our church as well. You can't have, I think we're all aware, we're all smart enough, if you want to say it that way, to realize that the standard of holiness doesn't just stop the minute we walk out these doors. The standard of holiness that we're talking about affects every area of my life. And not only will we be blessed, but God will be honored and glorified as we maintain that standard. So, may our lives, may we never settle for less when it comes to this standard of holiness that God expects of us. And if we find ourselves getting weary, and if we find ourselves wondering, is it worth it? I hope tonight I've made the case with some of these verses that it is worth it. You know, we talked there, I'm going to read verses 11 through 15 again. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So it is possible. It's not impossible. Looking, and why should we do this? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior Jesus Christ. So, in closing, I hope and I trust that the standard we're talking about tonight, the standard of holiness, will not only be a part of your life, it will be a part of your home, it will be a part of your church, and it will go out and it will affect the community around you. Shall we kneel in prayer?